This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَى آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌّ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَظْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى فوسوس إليه الشيطان قال يا آدم هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى فأكلا منها فبدت لهما سوآتهما وطفقا يخصفان عليهما من ورق الجنة وعصى آدم ربه فغوى ثم اجتباه ربه فتاب عليه وهدى قال اهبطا منها جميعا بعضكم لبعض عدو فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن اتبع هداي فلا يضل ولا يشقى ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى قال رب لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى وكذلك نجزي من أسرف ولم يؤمن بآيات ربه ولعذاب الآخرة أشد وأبقى أفلم يهد لهم كم أهلكنا قبلهم من القرون يمشون في مساكنهم إن في ذلك لآيات لأولي النهى
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue our reflections on the story of Adam alayhi salam, the first prophet and the first human that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And we got to the point where Allah ordered the angels, and among them was Iblis, to prostrate to Adam in greeting, and Iblis refused. And we went through the analysis of the first known sin, the direct disobedience of an order given directly by the Creator, the Almighty Allah Himself. And the results of that, that Allah condemned Iblis to be expelled among the angels and to be condemned to hellfire. And Iblis asked a respite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he vowed that he will use his time, his powers, to misguide human beings, starting with the human that he is blaming for his own sins, and that is Adam alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Adam in al-Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let Adam dwell alayhi salam in al-Jannah as a place of abode for him. And the hadith goes, as it is narrated on the authority of Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud, and this is an athar on these great sahaba, and it is narrated in two books, Al-Bidayah and Al-Nihaya for Ibn Kathir, and for the book of Al-Tabari. He said, Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud said, that Iblis was expelled from Al-Jannah when he was condemned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Adam was placed in Al-Jannah, was placed in the gardens. And as Adam used to walk around in Al-Jannah, he was walking along lonely. فَاسْتَوْحَشْ He became lonely. He was, something was missing from the life of Adam, alayhi salam. And then he went into sleep. He had a slumber one time in Al-Jannah. And when he woke, there was a creature right by his head. And he found a woman. And he asked that woman, he said, من أنتي? Who are you? And she said, I am a woman. I am a woman. And he said, why have you been created? وَلِمَ خُلِقْتِ? And she said, لِتَسْكُنَ إِلَيْ. So you can settle down to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 1, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person, and that is Adam. And from him, from Adam, he created his wife, Hawa. And then when Adam took Hawa, the malaika asked him who she is and what's her name. And he said, her name is Hawa. And they said, why is her name Hawa? We know Adam is the one that knows the names of everything. He's the one that has the knowledge that the angels did not have. And they asked him, why Hawa? And he said, because she was created from Hay, from something that is Hay. Hay is something living. Hawa was created from the rib of Adam, alayhi salam. And that is authenticated in the hadith, and this is in the book of Al-Bukhari, on the Prophet, on the authority of Abu Hurairah. May Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, استوصوا بالنساء. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, treat women in a good way. Treat women nicely. For a woman is created from a rib. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ضُلْعٍ Woman was created from a rib. وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ شَيْءٍ فِي الضُّلْعِ أَعْلَاهُ فَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمَهُ كَسَرْتَهُ وَإِنْ تَرَكْتَهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ أَعْوَجُ فَاسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا He said, a woman was created from a rib, and the most curved portion of the rib is its upper portion. So if you should try to straighten it, it will break. But if you leave it as it is, it remains crooked. So treat women in a good way. Treat women nicely. Unfortunately, a lot of people, when they mention this hadith, they remember only the middle part. That woman is crooked. And if you forget the beginning and the end of this hadith, and that is you have to treat women in the best way possible and in a good way according to the tradition of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the meaning of this hadith, as many scholars said, that women have been created from the rib, and they have a passion that may sometimes overwhelms their creation, overwhelm their nature. And that passion and compassion and the sympathy that women have may overcome an intellectual process that a man can have. So do not force women. They have created in that certain way, and do not force them to change their nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them with. And be good to them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said very clearly in the hadith, خياركم خياركم لأهلكم وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. The best of you are the ones who are the best with their families, with their women. And I am the best of you to my family and to my women. So that is how women should be treated in Islam, in the best way, in the nicest way, as the Prophet ﷺ recommended. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after giving Hawa to Adam for them to dwell together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, like it is narrated in Al-Baqarah, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. We said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in the paradise. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. And eat, both of you, of it freely with pleasure and delight. Enormous blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon Adam and Hawa, upon Adam and Eve, our father and mother. May peace be upon them. And then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا, wherever you like, whenever you like. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. One exception, but come not near this tree. This one tree that is forbidden. It is the entire gardens of paradise is for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you go wherever you want, you eat from whatever you want, except that one tree. One small exception. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And both of you will be of the wrongdoers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this enormous pleasure. Just unbelievable and unlimited bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنْ لَا تَضْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. You shall never experience hunger. You shall never experience thirst. And you will not experience extreme temperatures, heat, hot weather, not even get close to that. So enormous bounty from the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except that one tree that Adam should not come close to. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned Adam. He said, فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. In that one verse in Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Adam, this Iblis, Satan, is an enemy to you and your wife. So let him not get you both out of paradise, out of the garden of paradise, so that you will be in misery. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him two pieces of information here. This shaitan is your enemy. You expect no good from your enemy. And the second piece is he has a goal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified the goal of that enemy to Adam and to Eve. He said he wants to get you and your wife out of the gardens of paradise. And one might say, knowing we know the rest of the story, how come? How come they fell for that? How come with all that clear warning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them? How did they fall for him? How did they obey Iblis? And the question really should be reflected towards us. How many times do we obey Satan? How many times do we follow the steps of Iblis? La'anahullah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly in the Quran, in his book, many times, just like he warned Adam, he warned us. And he told us even more information about the tactics and the techniques that Iblis uses to seduce us. And that's why we're learning these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Fatir, verse 35, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Iblis, Satan, is indeed your enemy, so make an enemy of him. Just like he told our father Adam, إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ. He gave us the same information that he gave Adam alayhi salam. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Oh, children of Adam, I give you covenant not to worship Satan. Worshipping Satan is in obeying him. He is a clear enemy to you. And Allah said, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Do not follow in the steps, in the footsteps of Iblis, of Shaytan. He is indeed an enemy for you. So how can we blame our father and our mother when we have exactly the same warnings? We have the same information, and yet let's just reflect towards our own behavior. How many times we obeyed? How many times we followed in the footsteps of Shaitan, of Iblis? So this lesson here is, how did Iblis get to Adam? How did Iblis get to our father and mother in paradise, in Al-Jannah? How did he work his temptation? How did he work his seduction? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story, and not to be entertained, but to be warned. Because he has the same tactics that he's going to try on every single one of us, over and over and over again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, نَكَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. The plotting, the planning of Shaitan, of Satan, is weak. He repeats the same things. It's the same tactics, over and over and over again. And it's only our weakness when we become weaker than that, when we fall for it, knowing how he does it. So how does he do it? Let's see, let's analyze this, let's reflect on the story of Adam, how Shaitan came to them, and how he made them disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Taha, verse 120, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. But Satan whispered evil to him, and he said, O Adam, shall I lead you to the tree of eternity and a kingdom that will never decay? In this verse, if we just go into analyzing this one ayah, one verse of the Quran, we get many tactics, many ways how Shaitan comes to us, and how he plans, and how he gets us to obey him and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord. The first tactic is just in the word waswasa. Waswasa. The word waswas meaning whispering. Someone who will whisper and try to inspire ideas into you. But the way the verb is in the Arabic language, waswas, it has two syllables and they're repeated. And in the Arabic language, when a verb like that occurs, that means that act is being repeated over and over and over again. An example of that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, رِيحٍ صَرْصَرْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the wind that destroyed the people of Ad, he said, this wind was صَرْصَرْ, beating them repeatedly, over and over again. And that over and over again repeatedly is just from the way the verb is pronounced. It's just one of the characteristics of the Arabic language. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Thamud, دَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَمْهِمْ دَمْدَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept pounding them, دَمْدَمْ, repeatedly again. So when the shaitan came to Adam, what did he do? Was. He started whispering over and over again. He has eternity. He has till the day of judgment to work on human beings and mankind. And he is persistent. That is his only goal. So he is not going to get tired. He's going to keep repeating his waswasa. He's going to repeat whispering over and over and over again. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, warned us. He said, do not ever turn the blind eye to the waswasa of shaitan. Always be aware of the whispering of shaitan, because he is always ever persistent in trying to get you to obey him. So the first trick of shaitan is he's relentless. Is he is going to keep trying again and again. And how do we fight that? We keep pushing him away again and again and again. We keep taking refuge in our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the whispering and from the evil of shaitan. The second trick that the shaitan plays, the second tactic of shaitan, is look what he said about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَ. Do not come close to this tree. What did the shaitan do? He said, I will make it more beautiful. Beautification. I will give it a name. And I will call it Shajaratul Khuld. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say this is Shajaratul Khuld. He said, it's a tree. A tree in paradise, don't come close to it. What did the shaitan do? What did Satan do when he's coming to Adam? He said, can I just lead you to the tree of eternity? Give it a beautiful name, a name that is desirable, eternity. Everlasting life, that's the tree. That's the tree. Don't forget about everything else. That's the tree of eternity. He beautified the tree for Adam. And there is just that verb in the English language. It's called euphemism. This word of euphemism. When things are beautified, when things are taken from what they mean, and you beautify the meaning, you make it more appealing. It's like what the shaitan does. What Satan does for everything. What does he call usury? Interest. From riba, call faida. Now who doesn't like interest? Right? He gives it a beautiful name. Intoxicants. What is he going to call intoxicants? Spirits. Right? Give it a beautiful name. Right? From intoxicants to, what is he going to call fornication? Zina. Call it liberty. Just liberate yourself. Give everything a spin, right? He's the ultimate spinner, Iblis. He's the ultimate euphemizer. And that's the tactic that he uses on mankind, and that did not change. And he used it on our father Adam, alayhi salam. He said, the tree of eternity, gives it a beautiful name. Instead of the forbidden tree, he didn't say, should I lead you to the forbidden tree? No. I'm going to lead you to the tree of eternity. Euphemization. Is that a word? Beautification. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Remember his vow to Allah. I will beautify to them what's on earth. I will let their hearts, instead of being attached to you, being attached to what's on earth. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will mislead them all by that. By beautifying everything that is evil, everything that is prohibited, everything that is banned, everything that is forbidden, I'll make it beautiful for them and I will mislead all of them to it. That is the tactic. You see, that doesn't change. That's his very primitive, the way it started with Iblis, la'anahu Allah. And then what? He works on our greed. He works on what we want. And that's how he makes it look good for us. Remember what he said to the angels when he saw that Adam is hollow. And he said he's hollow, that means needs something to fill him up. So there is a built-in human I want to. Some greed that is built into the human nature. And he said, هذا خلق لا يتمالك. This is not a solid thing. I found a way to him by what he wants. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if a human being has a valley of gold, then he would wish for another valley. We would never be satiated of this dunya. Except with iman, except with faith. He said, if a human being, not the solid believers inshallah, but a human being, if he's that human being, she or he, are left to their own desires, they will never be satiated. I have a car, well there is a better car. I have the best car, well there's a new model coming out next year. I have a big house, well I want a mansion. I have a mansion, I want a yacht. You know, I mean you see all these rich, filthy rich people, they're always fighting for more. They always, the greed of the human being doesn't stop. Endless. And Satan plays on that. So what does he say to Adam? He said, you know that tree? It's a kingdom that never decays. وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. So he plays on what Adam, in his own nature, would want. Would want eternity, and would want something that never decays, and he wants a kingdom. And then, another tactic of a shaitan, which is practiced by the shaitan, by Satan, and by his soldiers. And it is apparent in this verse, in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 20. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the shaitan told Adam and Hawa, وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. He said, your Lord only forbade you from this tree, lest you should become angels or become of the immortals. What is he playing on? What is he doing? He's using scare tactics. He said, if you don't eat from this tree, you will die. So he's scaring Adam and Hawa. He said, your life, don't be fooled by all this pleasure that you have in Jannah. If you don't eat from this tree, you will die. Your life will end. So that's why Allah did not show you that tree, did not want you to eat from that tree, because then you will have eternal life. The scare tactics that the shaitan works on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al Imran, verse 175, he said, a shaitan scares his followers. Use scare tactics to gather his followers around him. Do not be scared of them. Be fearful of Allah. Be fearful of your Creator. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And then he said, Allah doesn't want you to be angels. Well, why do you want to be angels of Allah? Just put all the angels in prostration to you. Why do you want to be an angel? Allah is giving you honor above the angels. Yet the shaitan always wants to take us to the things that we don't have. He said, the grass is always greener on the other side. Anything that is not, doesn't belong to you, try to get it. Any trait that you don't have, try to acquire it. So if you eat from the tree, you'll become an angel. And the angels just prostrated to Adam alayhi salam. And then the fifth tactic that he used with Adam and Hawa, with Adam and Eve, is lying. Just plain old lying. Just using false advice. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. And he swore to them, to both of them, that I'm just giving you a sincere advice. He just plainly, falsely deceived them. And Ibn Kathir, in his explanation, in his interpretation of the Quran, he narrated an apology of Adam to his Lord. And Adam alayhi salam said, وَعِزَّتِكَ مَا حَسِبْتُ أَنَّ أَحَدًا يَحْلِفُ بِكَ كَذِبًا. Adam said, I could not imagine that anybody would give a vow using the Lord's name in vain. So he believed Iblis, la'ana Allah. Because Iblis used the name of Allah. قَاسَمَهُمَا. He made a qasam, he made a vow. By Allah, I'm just giving you a straightforward, sincere advice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, beware of the promises of Iblis. Beware of the promises of Satan. Because they're all false. If you just cheat for a little bit, you will repent later. If you use the things that are forbidden for you now, you will be rich and then you can repent later. He promises you will have enormous power. You will have power that you can use in good later on. Always gives you that, those promises. That I'm just giving you a good advice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Shaitan promises and he gives advice and he only promises falsehood. Only promises falsehood. Just like what he did with the unbelievers before the battle of Badr. What did he come to the unbelievers, of disbelievers of Quraysh, and what did he say? He said, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. He promised, he said, nobody can defeat you today and I will fight with you. Well, what happened when the fighting started? This is in Al-Anfal, verse 48. فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَتِ الْفِئَتَانِ نَقَصَ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ. When the two groups, the two armies saw each other face to face, he started running away. Said, I see what you can't see and I fear Allah. Goodbye. Shaitan never promised anything that is good for you. And the followers of Shaitan will always use those languages, will always use that same tactic, and they will say, use the language, I have only sincere advice to you. What did Pharaoh tell his people? Fir'aun, la'anahu Allah. What did he tell his people when they wanted to listen to Musa? To Musa alayhi salam. What did Fir'aun say? مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى. وَمَا أَهْدِيَكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ. I show you only the things, good things that I see, and I'm guiding you to the path of wisdom and the path of guidance. Beautiful words. Beware of beautiful words. Beware of good advices and beautiful words, because these are the tools of shaitan. So these are some of the tactics that Iblis used: lying, deception, and false advice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so he misled them with deception, and they tasted the tree. And they both tasted the tree. So what happened when Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Something amazing happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةَ وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. In Al-A'raf, verse 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they tasted the tree, that which was hidden from their shame became manifest to them. And they began to cover themselves with the leaves of paradise. And their Lord called out to them saying, did I not forbid you that tree and tell you verily Satan is an avowed enemy unto you? So they ate from the tree. And all of a sudden, whatever they had on, the clothes that they had on, fell. And they stood naked in the garden of paradise. And it is from the Quranic, many verses in the Quran, Adam had clothes on. Adam was never naked. Do I ever believe this story of a human being running around naked that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Adam, uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. Dwell you and your wife in paradise. And he told him in Surah Taha, إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعَرَى. That you will never be there, and you'll never be hungry, and you will never be naked, as long as you don't touch that tree. So what happened when they ate from that tree? Their clothes fell, and they become naked. Why? And this scene is repeated many times in the Quran. That their clothes fell, and they started taking the leaves of paradise, and they started putting it over their bodies to cover their body and to cover their shame. And Allah said that this was actually one of the goals of Iblis, is to let their clothes fall and to show them their nakedness and their shame. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Al-A'raf, verse 20, Allah said, فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. Shaitan, Satan, whispered unto them so he can show them what has been hidden from their bodies. The shame parts of their bodies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. They ate, and their nakedness became apparent to them, and they started putting the leaves of paradise over them, and Adam disobeyed his Lord, and he was misled. Why the nakedness? Why is that important? To understand what is the meaning of that scene? What happened in that particular moment? There is, most of the scholars said there is two different meanings into these verses, into the story. The first is the apparent physical meaning which happened, which truly happened. They were covered, and the clothes fell, and they were naked, and they started covering up with the leaves of paradise. Covering up, hiding our own private parts is of the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us. Honoring a human being is in letting that human being be covered and be decent and be humbled before his Lord. How do we know that? Again, from the Quran. Nothing is from outside the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 26, Allah said, يَا بَنِي آدَمْ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. O children of Adam, we have bestowed raiment upon you to cover yourselves, and as an adornment, and the raiment of righteousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you cover yourself, that is the clothing of righteousness, of piety, and that is better for you. Such are among the signs of Allah, of your Lord, that they may remember. Covering up is the pride of a human being. Being in a decent shape. And it's an innate nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in us. And the proof of that the first thing, that these first two human beings, their instinct was what? To cover up. When they were naked, the first instinct they had is to start covering up their bodies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equated nakedness with the feeling of shame. And He put that feeling in our innate nature, like He said. And it only goes away if it is an acquired behavior. Nakedness, the people that run around not clothed or semi-clothed, they have to fight an innate nature to do that. And showing the nakedness is exposing our desires, is exposing things that are of the weak character of the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a human being with weakness. And of the weakness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us is our naked bodies that we need to hide. And hiding that nakedness gives us strength. And showing the nakedness is weakness. And you see some people say, I was in this such bad position, I felt like I was naked. I mean, so embarrassed. It's sudden, awkward. It's a common thing that people say. I felt like I was almost naked. People feel weakness. People feel vulnerable. People feel like they're exposed when they are not covered. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us from showing our nakedness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just in the following verse of Surah Al-A'raf 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يا بني آدم لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة ينزع عنهما لباسهما ليريهما سوآتهما إنه يراكم هو وقبيله من حيث لا ترونهم إنا جعلنا الشياطين أولياء للذين لا يؤمنون. O children of Adam, let not Satan seduce you in the same manner as he got your parents out of the garden, stripping them from their raiment to expose their shame. And what followed that when Adam and Hawa were exposed in that way? Immediate feel of guilt, shame. They immediately felt the guilt and the shame with their innate nature, with the untouched, uncorrupted human nature that was still in them. So that sin that they committed had an immediate physical, tangible result. As they were exposed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them, I will honor you with these clothes, and as long as you dwell in paradise, and as long as you obey me, you will be covered. And immediately after the sin was committed, they were exposed. And the weakness of the human being was shown. And then there is another spiritual and moral meaning for that nakedness. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the clothing, He said, لِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى. This is clothing, this is a raiment of piety and righteousness. And when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are taken off these clothes, this cover-up of righteousness and piety. And you're exposing your human desires and your weakness and the sinful nature that happens when we let down our guard against the shaitan, against the one that wants to seduce us, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the goals of shaitan is to let us show our nakedness, is to expose ourselves. Bear it all. Liberate yourself. We'll show it on TV, We'll show it on the cinema. We will show it everywhere. It will be in billboard until your eyes get used to it. So you become desensitized to this behavior that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. That becomes something natural. So when you see a decent human being that is covered, then you think that there's something wrong with them. And that is the trickery of shaitan. Because he wants to show our weakness, and he wants to make us easy. When we're weak, when we're exposed, when we feel naked, when we put down the garment of righteousness, we are an easy prey. And he can get us anytime he wants to, at that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not do that. And the trickery of shaitan is he wants you to put down your guard and to take off your clothes. So what happened after that? How did Adam and Hawa responded? They said, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. And if you forgive us not and bestow not upon us your mercy, we shall certainly be of the losers. قَالَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ So they started on a way to repentance. How do you start on the road to repentance? First, they immediately recognized their sin. The first thing that they admitted, their responsibility. They say, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا We have wronged ourselves. And they did not say, Iblis tricked us. They didn't say, it's his fault. We had nothing to do with it. He came to us, he said this, and he said that. They did not have any of that. They immediately admitted their own responsibility for their actions. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا We have wronged ourselves. We have mistreated ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا And they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. They felt the regret, they took the responsibility, and they admitted their sin, and they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and that is the way to repentance. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repented. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that repentance from them. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the words of tawbah to Adam. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ And then Adam received from his Lord words. And the scholars differed what exactly these words are. But they are words of repentance. They are words of admitting the sin. And most scholars said, that's what they said. رَبَّنَا إِنَّا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا We have wronged ourselves, so forgive us. And what did, when we go into the stories of the prophets, what did Jonas, when he was swallowed by the whale, what was the word that saved him? لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ There is no Lord but you, I was of the wrongdoers. Admit your mistake, recognize your responsibility, and repent to your Lord. And that's just the way to repentance, that it repeats itself over and over again. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, there is something called Sayyidul Istighfar. The Prophet ﷺ taught us a dua, a supplication that is called the master of asking forgiveness. That dua, if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be forgiven. And what does that say? And you will see that supplication goes exactly in the same steps that Adam and Hawa repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua goes as follows, and it's in al-Bukhari and it's in Musnad Ahmad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahumma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that to say, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. O Allah, you are my Lord, there is no God, there is no deity but you. The first, recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly the first word that came out of their mouth. Rabbana, our Lord. They repented to Allah, and the first thing they recognized is their servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over them. We are your servants. We are your slaves. You are our master. You are our God. قَالَا رَبَّنَا And the same thing in Sayyid al-Istighfar. اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ رَبِّي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ خلقتني وأنا على وأنا عبدك. You created me and I am your servant. وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت. And I will be on your covenant and on my promise as long and as much as I can. So in that there is what? There is an admittance. There is admitting our weakness. I will hold on to your covenant. I will hold on to the promise as much as I can. أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت. أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي. I take refuge in you from the bad deed that I have done. From the evil that I have done. أبوء لك بنعمتك علي. I confess and I submit your bounty over me وأبوء بذنبي. And I confess my sin. So that is the second step. To confess our sin. To admit our sin and to take responsibility. And that's what they said. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged against ourselves. And then you go on and you ask Allah for forgiveness. You say, فَغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Then forgive me, and there is none that can forgive my sin except you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever say that in the daytime, and they don't make it to the night, then they are of the dwellers of paradise. And whomever they say that at night, and they don't make it to the morning, they die before the morning, then they are of the dwellers of paradise. Because that supplication, those steps, that just following exactly in the footsteps of our father, of our mother Hawa, that repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will wash our sins. To recognize the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to recognize our weakness, to recognize our sin, and to ask Allah for forgiveness while acknowledging our responsibility, and don't blame any of our sins on anyone else. And why all of that happened? Why all of that happened? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to prepare us through our father Adam for what? What is the purpose? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced the creation of Adam, what did he say? قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. When Allah announced to the angels, he said, I will have a vicegerent, a steward on earth. And how do you prepare your vicegerent? By teaching them how to avoid the pitfalls, how to avoid the mistakes. The story of Adam teaches us how to perform our duties in this life. The importance of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The importance of submitting. Islam is about the peaceful submission to Allah. Obedience. Obey Allah. Allah said, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. And do not come near this tree. We do not come near that tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not do this. We don't do it. Not for anything, but because Allah said so. Because Allah instructed us to do that. Or not do that, we are going to do it. That is Islam. And that is what prepares us to be the vicegerent, the stewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on earth. And then the second lesson we take is how to defend ourselves, how to resist the trickery and the seduction of shaitan. All the tactics that a shaitan has. And we will learn more tactics as we go along, reflecting on the stories of Quran and how shaitan got to people to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learned already in this last session the things that led him, Iblis, Satan himself, to disobey Allah. You avoid those. You avoid arrogance. You avoid lack of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You avoid not obeying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You avoid arguing the orders of Allah, the stubbornness, the insisting on sinning. And then you avoid the tactics of Iblis. When he beautifies things for us that we know they're not allowable. We have clear orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to follow that. And yet we follow our weakness. The importance of resisting the seduction of shaitan. The importance of turning down and taming our instincts, our desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us certain desires and certain things that we shall use to build this earth. The procreation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the sexual desire so we can have families. Not to use it in the disobedience, not to use it to destroy society. It's to build humanity. So we have to tame those desires. And that is the lessons that we learn from this very important and essential story in the Quran. It is narrated in detail 7 times. It is repeated over and over again so we can understand. Because that is the essential story. That's the important one. And important to cover up with righteousness. To protect ourselves. What does taqwa mean? Taqwa is to shield yourself. To shield yourself. And shield yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, shield yourself. Cover up with the garment of piety and righteousness. And the importance of repentance. When we sin, we go back. And the gates of repentance, the gates of tawbah are wide open. And they will never close. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Prophet told us that Allah will accept the repentance of the servant until the last moment on their deathbed. مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. That's the last moment of life. When the soul reaches the neck and it's coming out. Until that moment, Allah accepts repentance. So never ever despair. If you still have life in you, and the sun is still coming out from the east and sitting down in the west, there are gates of repentance that are wide open to the believers. So one might say, well, Adam made a mistake and he disobeyed, and Iblis made a mistake and he disobeyed. Well, how come Adam is a prophet, alayhi salam, and Iblis, is Satan? Because there are very important differences that we need to go through. Adam's sin was caused by weakness and temptation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in Surah Taha 1:15. وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِي وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. We indeed made a covenant with Adam before and he forgot. And we found on his part no firm willpower. It was weak. And he fell into sin because of the weakness that Adam had. But when Satan fell into sin, why did he fall into sin? Because of arrogance and pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ اسْتَكْبَرْ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Pride and arrogance along with ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iblis, he was proud, arrogant, and was of the ungrateful. The second major important difference is immediately when Adam had his sin, what did he do? And Hawa, they immediately felt the shame, the guilt, and they covered up, and they humbled before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, قَالَا رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged against ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. What did Iblis do when he sinned? He was defiant. He was arrogant, even before Allah. He was obstinate. Allah asked him not because Allah doesn't know. Allah, when Allah asks, Allah knows everything. Allah asked to emphasize and Allah asked to let Iblis himself be a witness against his own self. To show his true intentions. But Allah knows it all. Allah knows everything before everything was ever created. He said, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدْ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. Allah said, what prevented you to prostrate when I ordered you, I commanded you? He said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. He was defined. He said, I am better than him. So he insisted on his sin. He was defiant. He was not humbled. He did not feel the shame before Allah. He did not repent. He was stubborn and insisted. He said, and he started justifying to himself his sin before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I am better than him. And that is the root of all evil. Better than someone. I am better than someone because I'm taller. I'm better than someone because I have less pigment on my skin than someone else. I am better than someone else because I have more certificates on the wall. Because my car is bigger. Because my health is better. I am better than that because I have certain passport and I have certain citizenship and someone else doesn't. I belong to a certain race. I belong to a certain nation. I'm better. That is the path of shaitan. I am better than him. And that is the very important difference between the response of Adam to his sin and the response of Iblis to his sin. The other important difference, if you compare these two sins, Adam immediately and Hawa accepted responsibility, complete responsibility. They did not blame anyone else. They did not project their sin on anyone else. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged ourselves. We are responsible for this. What did Iblis say when he knew that he fell into the sin? He said, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. فَبِمَا Allah, he's talking to the Creator himself. Because you have sent me astray. He blamed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sin that he committed. I mean, it was really more acceptable for Adam to blame Iblis, who really worked on misleading them and misguiding them. Yet they didn't do it. But you see what Iblis did? He projected the blame on the Creator, on the Almighty Allah. He said, you misled me. He would not take responsibility for his sin and for his action. And that is why he is rajim. And that's why he is condemned. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemned him and those who follow him to the hellfire, wal-iyadu billah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the repentance of Adam. You see, there are really very important differences. Adam immediately repented, asked forgiveness. He said, we have wronged ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. If you don't forgive us, if you don't have mercy on us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We will be of the true losers. Iblis insisted. Yet he threatened, he said, just give me respite and I will misguide them all. I will continue on the path of destruction to the day of judgment. And that is, these are very important differences between the sin that Adam alayhi salam fell into because of weakness, repented from, and came back to Allah, and the sin that Iblis did arrogantly, insisted on, and he became defiant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The results, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the chapter of humanity. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for human beings to be on this earth. Allah created life and death to try us, to show, to test us, to let us show the best and the worst, to show who we are, to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be asked about our deeds. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah created life and death to test you who is the best doer, best, the one has the best deed among you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all of you down to earth. All of you fall down to earth. بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ. The evil against humans. But that is, there are two important matters of creed in this story, that there is a difference between us and the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. Number one, we don't blame Hawa for what happened. We don't put the blame on Eve, on Hawa, on women, for what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. Iblis put them both, Allah, tricked them both. And then when they repented, they both repented. And it's always two together. They fell into the sin together, they repented together, they came down to earth together. It was shared sin. And it's not blamed on the female. The second thing is the battle, it's not between Allah, it's not between God and Satan. Allah is above that. Allah is in control of everything. It is between us and Him. And Satan. The battle between good and evil is not between God and evil. Because God is above him. He is a servant of Allah. He fears Allah many times in the Quran. Inni akhafu Allah. I fear Allah. On the day of in hellfire, he will give a speech and we will get to it. And he would say, I'm innocent from whatever you have done before Allah. I have nothing to do with it. I just called upon you and you came to me. I'm not responsible for your deeds. You take responsibility for it. He is abid, just like everybody else. But he is our enemy. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said many, many, many times in the Quran. بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ. You are enemy of each other. Who? Us humans and evil. And shaitan. فَإِنَّمَا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. There will be guidance that will come to you. I will not leave you alone in this war with Iblis without help. This is the merciful speaking. Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He said, whenever that happens, I will send to you guidance, and those who follow my guidance, they shall never be sad, and she will never go astray. And then the final scene that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performed is what is the amazing thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in Surah Al-A'raf. It's to place the innate nature in every and single one of us. To put this fitrah in our hearts. To let us recognize that Allah is there, there is a creator, and He is one. And anything else is falsehood. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought forth from the children of Adam, from their loins, their seed, from Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought all of us in the life before birth. Our souls were brought to before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholars differed when it happened and where it happened. Some say it happened on the mountain of Arafat on this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid out all the human souls before Him. And He talked to all of them. And He made them testify to themselves saying, am I not your Lord? And everyone answered, yes, we testify. You are our Lord. And that is called al-ahd. This is the covenant that we gave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. Now don't come to me on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, and He said, we are not aware of this. We don't know our Lord. We don't know Allah is there. We were just born into an atheist family. We just born into a family that worship idols. And this is in the second verse. أَوْ تَقُولُوا إِنَّمَا أَشْرَكَ آبَاؤُنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ وَكُنَّا ذُرِّيَّةً مِّنْ بَعْدِهِمْ أَفَتُهْلِكُنَا بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. Allah is telling them the excuses that they will use on the day of judgment. He said, don't come to me on the day of judgment and say, we are not aware of you. We were not aware that you were there. And do not come to me to say that it's our fathers that took partners in worship with you before. And we were just on their footsteps. Would you destroy us because of the deeds who practiced batil? Al-mubtal is the one that practiced the falsehood, the batil. He said, would you destroy us for that? Allah said, don't come on the day of judgment with that excuse. Because I put in you this fitrah, this innate nature, that will only be comfortable with the idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed Adam and Hawa on this earth in the final chapter of this story. And He said, إِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَىٰ. I will send you guidance, children of Adam. They will be messengers and prophets that will come to you with the right path and the right message. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَىٰ فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those who follow the guidance that will come to them, believe in the messengers, believe in the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send, they will not have any fear and they will not have any grief on the day of judgment. But there will be some of you that will reject those. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. And those who disbelieve and belie our signs, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Such are the dwellers of the fire, and they shall abide therein forever. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who follow the guidance, and to make us of those who avoid hellfire, and avoid the pitfalls of shaitan, and the footsteps of Satan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those when they hear these things, to heed the lessons from it, and to keep it in our heart, and to use it in our life. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us the best of this. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una, wa anfa'na bima allamtana, wa zidna ilman wa fiqhan fi d-dini ya rabbal alameen. Astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum, fa ya fawza al-mustaghfirin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.